Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's refreshing.
What, being here with you, blokes?
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, and thanks to you. Thanks to our Patreon people, patreon.com, Swatty and Friends, and people who have bought our shit merch. It's hump day with Swatty and Friends, Sam Richards.
Oh, you got it. Proud of you.
I know, I just sort of concentrate, get this
sexist
right.
Pig. You are.
Every time, it's not a hard name.
And the man, let's call him the influencer, Dade Swan.
The influencer.
The influencer.
Not saying
the negative influencer, probably more like it, not
well,
the positive one.
There's my point. Before I met you, oh, I'm here in Dane Swan, negative influencer. When did you and Dusty Martin become friends? About 4 years ago?
Five, six years ago, ever since.
How's it gone then?
Well, he's not bad, I would have thought. Yeah, so all those Richmond supporters out there, you're welcome. It's a direct correlation of his great form and us getting together.
I think so.
Yeah,
think
so, so do I.
Cute.
Well, that was a... Yeah, it was a shit game, wasn't it? Unless you're a Richmond supporter, weren't you?
I actually thought the first quarter was pretty good. I think the GWS defenders were under the pump for that full first quarter, and then they just didn't come back with any kind of answer for the rest of the game.
And then it went to the wayside. And you can't beat self-interest. Now, did you go there paying, Sam, or were you working?
I did, actually. I went there. Well, I was working at the September Club, so yeah. I was working to begin with, and then managed to get our hands on some tickets for the actual game. Sadly, had to pay for them, but not too expensive.
Did you pay top dollar or market price?
Well, these tickets were offered at $1,300 originally, and then re-offered at $1,000, and then re-offered at $800, and then re-offered at $500. And my friend said,
"Sold
to me,
like a reverse."
Sold.
Action.
My friend goes, "Sold," and I'll pay for some of yours because I took him to September Club. He's over from Perth, and I just thought he's a mad footy bloke.
Were you in a function or just in a seat?
Yeah, I was hosting one of the marquees there.
No, the game.
I was a woman of the people, Dane.
Yeah, just with the commoners. Listen. When grand final, I'm a man of the people myself.
Tell you what, though, the atmosphere was bloody electric because I was in amongst Richmond supporters and they were up and about the whole game.
Was that your first grand final?
Yeah, my first one. So that's why it's kind of worth it. I didn't mind in the end paying the money that we paid because I've been a footy fan for a while and I've been working in the industry for about 8 years. So I just thought, once in a lifetime for me,
what'd
I'm gathering.
You like the atmosphere?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Were you there for the pregame and stuff?
No, because I was over at September Club, so I walked in for the anthem and then onwards, and it was pretty bloody good.
Well, give us a Brownlow style. Give us your 3-2-1. What was your highlights of being there at your first grand final?
My highlight, probably the best part, was actually my favourite moment was when Bashahuli put his arm around Toby Green and gave him a bit of a cuddle and said, "It's all right, mate."
On the wing there.
I think it was in the last quarter. Instead of going over and whacking, I think Toby did something silly or missed a kick or kicked down the floor or something kind of silly, and rather than going out to him and giving him a bit of a jumper punch or giving him some grief, which a lot of players I guess normally would do in that instance, he walked over and put his arm around him, gave him a bit of a cuddle and had a bit of a smile. It was quite funny. That was probably my favourite moment. Secondly, the atmosphere. I wish that footy fans, Australian fans, seem to be quite passive. If you go to an EPL game or something like that, the atmosphere goes from the very first whistle, whereas I feel like that only happens in finals, and I think the atmosphere being in amongst all those Richmond supporters was electric from the national anthem right through to the end. And then my third part was probably the September Club afterwards. It was really cool seeing everyone and anyone from Gil to past players to current players to members of the public just kind of existing. Yeah, but existing together, and no one was kind of bothering anyone really. They were just all having a really good, happy time.
Where'd you watch it?
And
who with?
I was took my old man.
Yep.
I just used my gold passes, my gold pass seats.
What are they? Is that because you're a life member or?
Because I won the Brownlow. It's like yep. 200 club, but if you win the Brownlow, you get something called a gold pass.
Must be the same as what Sam gets for 300, I think.
Well, I think he's probably 300 club. I think that might be above the gold pass because if you could play, well, you couldn't play 10 games and win it because you'd have to be best on every game. But yep. like, you know, you could play 100 games, win the Brownlow, never play again and get this thing called a gold pass. So you get two freebies to any game you want for the rest of your life. So I just took them. Couldn't sell them at top dollar, so I was like, fuck it, I'll just take that. So we went every year before I started.
Really?
In the league, yeah, and then, or not when I was zero, but
What was the first one you remember?
Well, the Hawks. That's why I barracked for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawks man too.
Yeah, oh well it was, yeah. And then since I've been gone, yeah, we've gone the last few years. So we just go and watch and it's nice to have, you know, someone I know where they, you know, some people in the game. So all the pies last year, obviously. So, yes, went there, had a few things on early, and then obviously finished there and did my best afterwards. So it wasn't too bad, yeah, but it was the game would have been nice, unless you're mad Richmond, obviously, yeah. Then you loved every second of it, which a couple of my family members are. But, yeah, for the neutral fan, it would have been nice if, you know, GWS had fired a shot some stage in the last half, but fuck, it is what it is.
Cool story with Marion Pickett too. He actually kind of wasn't a passenger at all. He really stepped up and played, and I think he was second or third in the votings for that Norm Smith as well.
Yeah, he was absolute cracker. Yeah, he was great. Fair week for him.
Yeah.
Were you amused when people said, how did he manage to deal with the pressure of grand final day? And I thought, someone has been in prison? I reckon he's dealt with pressure
before.
Yeah,
exactly. He doesn't look like he gets too overawed. He just looks like he marches to the beat of his own drum a bit and just nothing really affected him. He obviously has played against men for a long time. Big body. And didn't look out of place at all. You'd imagine, unless barring injury, he's going to slide in. He'll be there against the Blues round one on the Thursday night to kick off the season. So there'll be a lot of ex-AFL players pretty jealous with him. One game, one grand final wins with some, you know, what did Robert Harvey play? 380 or something like that.
Well, that's what Fev said. He goes, 203 games and I haven't won a flag. This guy plays one game and has won a flag.
Exactly.
But I think he's a life member. I think under Richmond's constitution, if you're playing a premiership, you become a life member.
Well, that's, I think he is. Cool. Probably, I mean, Dustin's obviously a massive cult hero, but Marlon Pickett would be right up there right now. Mm. He'd be one of the Tigers' faithful favourites at the moment. He put on a good show, and you know, kicking that goal was pretty epic, and at least got the crowd involved because the game was over. So, you know, does obviously look for him and got him, and then it was nice to see him kick a goal and get the crowd back involved.
For our 2% of people who listen to us for their sport, they want me to ask you: how have you seen how Dusty Martin's become such a champion? Seriously, then we go silly.
Yeah, well, I think he just plays well. I don't know. He's just got better. He's got more mature. Yeah, he understands his body and how important he is to, you know, the football club and, you know, how much he does love footy now. So he takes it probably a lot more serious than he did 6-7 years ago. And
is that like you?
Hmm.
Do I take footy seriously now?
But as really. You told me that when you started, footy was getting in the way of your social life. And then you realised the penny had to drop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you realise, like, you know, is what he, one thing he is super loyal and, you know, loves being involved in a team dynamic and doesn't want to let his teammates down and wants to enjoy success because he's been through some shit times at Richmond.
Yep.
Now they're flying, obviously. So, and once you taste success, it's very hard to go back to being shit. because you understand what the pinnacle's like. So, he wants to keep Richmond that up there, and he loves the big day. Loves the big games. Clearly, you know, I don't know how many finals he played before 2017, but he probably had one off one when Levi got him in the prelim last year, but the other 10 or something he's played, if he hasn't been best on, he's been in the best two or three. So he knows what he's doing. So, he's a star and, you know, he's probably enjoying himself as we speak right now.
Are you catching up with him in the near future?
I caught up with him for a little bit Saturday night, but, you know, it's just I didn't win anything. So I'd had enough by then anyway. So I just popped in, said hello, congrats, and then sort of started off, let those boys do their thing. I'll see him on Thursday.
So whereabouts?
At the airport. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll go away. We've got a Bucks party in Vegas. So a couple of big things on there.
Good thing is, Sam, I don't think anyone would recognise Dane and Dusty at the airport.
No, yeah, no. They should slip through the slip through customs unnoticed and unquestioned, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got some big things on. Celine Dion's at the Mirage in Vegas. Mate, we really can't wait to get over and see that.
Absolutely.
We've got VIP tickets, got a meet and greet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Carrot Top's performing at the Luxor.
They do a walking tour or something? You'll be in that?
Yeah. No, I think Carrot Top's performing at the Luxor.
Grand Canyon?
Pardon?
You'll do the Grand Canyon?
Well, that's fucking one thing I won't do. Is that right? Mate, you can stick your Grand Canyon fair and square up your ass.
Up your canyon.
Mate, because I had to do it. Well, when I was playing in, when I had to go to Flagstaff for altitude training, we had to walk it.
Right.
Mate, the Grand Canyon's, do they call it Grand for a reason? It's a big fucking hole in the ground. Mate, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Mate, we had to go down, I can't remember how many kilometres it was. It was about, felt like 100. We had to be able at 5 a.m. walk up and down the Grand Canyon. But all you seen was a person in front of you's Adidas walking with a backpack on. It took us 11 hours to go up. We started up all the way down some trail all the way back, and then this must have been like 2007, 2008 maybe, because Butters, our fitness coach, was like, righto, everyone who thinks they're going to play in the midfield this year, come with us. So we are righto, and John O'Grammy goes, "Can I?" "Man, I'm knackered already. I've all I've done is been walking." He goes, "All right, we're going to run to the top." Mate, how do you reckon? It was probably the second hardest thing I've ever done. John ended up having to take my bag because I couldn't carry my backpack anymore. Mate, I nearly passed out. I was fucking rooted. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. So I think we had to do it four times. I got out of it the last two because I got much better. So Mick let me get out of it. But the first two times, I didn't have a leg to stand on, so I had to do it. I never want to see that thing again. It brings back some bad memories.
I'm doing bad at my job if I just let you say that was the second hardest thing I've ever done.
Well, Mount Humphrey was the other one up there.
Is that the hardest?
No, Friday to Monday, obviously. But yeah, as in that's very hard, as in fitness wise. And then we had to walk Mount Humphrey, which is like the mountain there, and that was high up at altitude. And I don't know, Mick had a rule where it was like, righto, no headphones, because he wanted everyone, even on Grand Canyon, no headphones. Everyone wants to, you have to converse and bond and all. Mate, an hour in.
No one's talking.
No one's, everyone's knackered. So, everyone's just, mumbling, grunting to themselves, two by two, hurrah, hurrah, the seven dwarfs. So I put my headphones in and I was like, I'm fucking willing to cop any consequence that I can possibly get because I'm not walking for 7 hours without music. It's not happening. So I tried to be sneaky and we're going walking in the snow, have a hoodie on and have my headphones in. This was the days before AirPods, so it was a bit more noticeable. So I stuck them in and got to the Vegemite shapes. I don't want to lose those bad boys.
Good catch.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm willing to cop this. Walked up and then a couple of other boys must have thought it was a good idea to see me doing it, so they didn't. Got
influencer.
Up, yeah, negative influence again. Yeah. Got up, then the next day when I thought I got away with it, then Mick called us in. All right, everyone who had headphones in, come with me. So we all got fucking sprayed.
So a few of you,
five or six of us, yeah, maybe seven. We all got.
And was that the birth of the Rat Pack?
Oh no, it was a lot of kids. Well, apparently I influenced them because they see me doing it, so they're like, it's good enough. So a lot of the boys got hammered and I copped probably the worst because everyone was copying me. So we got absolutely flogged on the NFL field and I laughed all the way through it because I was like, you know what, it was worth every second of pain I was going through on that field. I was worth listening to the music up there. I couldn't do it. So I never want to see Flagstaff, Arizona. I never want to see the Grand Canyon ever again, mate. Ever again. But there is a Titanic exhibition.
Oh, there it
At the Luxor as well. I read the thing. So I experienced the wonder and tragedy of the world's most famous ocean liner, Titanic. Viewed by more than 25 million people worldwide, the exhibition is one of the highest attended in history. So how could you miss that when you go to Vegas? So it's a bucks party. So, yeah, that'll
probably
be
good. Probably go as a group, wouldn't you, I'd say?
Yeah, mate, well, I think you get buy nine, get one free.
Yeah, perfect. So
thing out, well. You know, it's a bug. I'm thrifty when it comes to those kind of things. So,
bit of golf?
Yeah, no, I'm not a big golfer. Not a big golf. Played once with Sam.
So you are a Titanica, though?
Oh, my big guy. Big fan. Big fan. Mate, can't you see what's happening to Celine Dion?
Yes.
She sang the song.
Perhaps she could go with you. Maybe if you become friends.
We do have a meet and greet. So
you go ask her while you're there if she's not doing anything.
They're expensive, the tickets, let me tell you. I'm out for old Celine, but mate, my heart will go on. Exactly. It will.
Now, there you go. If money was limitless, would you do a meet and greet with anyone?
I'm not someone who gets starstruck. I've met many a person in my time. I've worked with some famous people, and I don't think I would. I can't think of anyone.
One obvious one. Jesus.
Is he playing at Vegas?
Well, I just like to have man greeting, so I've got me doubts.
You got
he's
question?
Real.
Yeah. That's
I've,
a good
I've
one,
I've got a couple
guess.
Of doubts. So if he turned up.
Just you and me now, mate.
What?
Kyle Sandland apologised.
What did he apologise for?
For what he said last week.
It was an 8-minute apology, apparently.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how many times. Why?
Just us two have ever apologised.
Oh, he's probably got sponsors that have said you need to apologise for this. Well, so, yeah, no, not yet. Yep. Not yet. I don't have to say something really fucked up to apologise. I think I haven't said it yet, but not yet. Not yet.
Would you pay for meet and greet with anyone in the world?
Well, legitimately, Jesus, living. He was lot living.
Yeah.
How much are we talking?
Well, Michael Jordan. Or some, I don't know.
Listen, I would if I was there, I wouldn't fly across the world just to do it.
Yeah.
Like if he was, and I wouldn't line up for 3 hours for anyone.
Yeah. If it could be arranged.
Like if he was going to come on this podcast, Jordan was going to come on this podcast, I'd give him $100 to come and do it. Like, I'd ask him.
Do you reckon he'd do the Would You Rathers?
I think so. I think, yeah. meet and greet for anyone.
I don't think there is anyone that I would.
No. Well, the thing is, like, so Bruce,
not my
Bruce Springsteen's my hero.
He's your man.
Because he sings. So to pay money to go say hello when you know there's 10,000 others where he goes, g'day.
I think it's different for me because it's kind of my job to talk. I usually get paid to talk to people.
Maybe when I was a kid, like, you know, as a teenager, you probably would love to meet, you know, your sports stars or your musical hero or something. But
I'd probably pay for my child to go. If my child was a mad someone fan, I'd probably pay for that, but not for myself.
And then, no one springs to mind. No one. But if I'm in New York in a couple of weeks and Canelo, you know, Michael Jordan's doing a meet and greet and there's no one there, I'd probably pay a couple hundred bucks to go, you know, take, you know, I don't know why I would, just so I could come back here and say I've done it. That'd probably be the only reason.
Would there be anyone that you get starstruck by, do you reckon? I remember a couple of years ago, 2 years ago now, I think, when the WWE was here, Triple H was here and a couple of, there was probably about six others, and it was on at the Crown the same day as the Geelong Best and Fairest. So I was hosting the media presser for the WWE in the day, and then I had a room at Crown and I was hosting the Geelong Kaji Medal at night time. And so it was very, very high security. We were doing it in Club 23 for the media kind of launch with all the papers and stuff. We're all set up there. The WWE fighters were staying in the other hotel. So there's actually an elevator or a lift that goes down underground. There's secret kind of passageway that cars go down between there and Crown Towers. So they were brought in a little, what do you call it? Brought in secret cards underneath, and then brought up into the Crystal Club, I think it is, and then so they could walk straight into Club 23 without being bothered.
Yep.
And while I was standing out the front, with all this security everywhere, because it's Triple H and a couple other big names were standing there, Jackson Thurlow, Tom Hawkins, and one other of the Geelong Cats boys, who are usually in the footy world superstars, like kids froth over Tom Hawkins, were standing there, and they were like, "What are you doing, Sam? What are you doing here early?" And I was like, "Oh, it's WWE." Like, and they're like, "Who's here?" And I told them a couple of names, and they were like, "Oh my god, can we have a photo?" So these three blokes stood by one of the by the side of the wall there waiting for these guys to come out, and they were like standing there like nervous schoolboys waiting to get a photo with these WWE superstars when they came through. I didn't think I'd see the day where someone like Tom Hawkins was excited to get a photo with anyone. So I wonder if you, being Dane Swan, an icon of a cult hero of the AFL footy, would be starstruck by anybody in the world.
Not really.
No one?
No, not really. I don't think I'd run up to someone and take a photo just for the sake of it.
No.
For the gram, I guess. I'm sure I have, and I'm sure I probably will in the future, but no. No one really springs to mind. No. If I'm in the same room as them and I'm doing, you know, like
media
something like that. Yeah. Like when I was in Philly, like I did a thing with Evander Holyfield and stuff like that, and we're like, cool. We're sitting in the green room together before we're doing our thing, and
what was he like?
He's pretty quiet, pretty softly spoken. But the weird thing was, we were looking at each other face to face, and I kept trying to like go around at an angle so I could see his ear. I was like, I can't make this too obvious, because if I could turn around and clip me, and I'll be dead. If I might punch him, it'll be the end of me.
You could have done. You could have gone, hey mate, do you want to get a photo? Do you have a better side?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you hear out of this one? Or but no, I didn't get a good look at his Mike Tyson's bite marks, but. I took a photo with him. Yeah, and I sat next to him at the basketball, actually, the Philly game when I was there.
Who else did you meet over there? Did you ring the bell at the Stock Exchange?
I rang the Stock Exchange bell, yeah.
For how did that happen?
Well, I thought, we're going to the Stock Exchange. I thought I was talking about a bar. So I was like, we're going to a bar. Oh, beauty. It's called the Stock Exchange. I don't know what goes on in. We actually walked into the Philly actual Stock Exchange, yeah. I was Australia ambassador over there, so for 4 on 20. So they had I had about 40 pies that day, so it took me a while before I had another one. But that was a great day. Now I had to do the Stock Exchange at 8 a.m. had to go on like the equivalent of like their talk shows in the morning.
Yep.
None of them, then no idea who I was. I was like, why am I doing on these shows? But was there to promote, you know, 4 on 20 and the pies and stuff like that. So I did that, and then rang the ceremonial bell before the start of the game, and the Sixers Bulls game, and they like to hit the. They do it before every home game, so they need 42 people. I guess they run out of stars, so I was the pleb who was left. You know, to ring the ceremony bell, you know, Australian football player Dane Swan. They showed my highlights on the Jumbotron.
Yeah,
I was looking around, mate. The people had absolutely no idea. There was a couple of Aussies there because for the Australia Day thing, so they're all right. But the rest of them were like, what the fuck is this sport? Who's this idiot playing this made-up sport? So, but that was a cool day. I was there. Well, it was in and out, though. It was a long way to go for 3 days, but loved it and ate a lot of pies, and hopefully, I don't know if they still sell them, but I don't know if I did my job, but they haven't called me back, so probably not.
Speaking of meeting people, so during the week, did you work from home last week?
Yeah, I was flat out. Yeah, I worked from home every night too. Yeah, flat out.
Were you out with the people? Grand final week. Talking,
yeah. No, I was out.
You had a few non work from home gigs.
Yeah, no, I was out. Well, Monday night. Well, we've already spoken about Monday night because we did this last Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday I did nothing. Wednesday I had one. Thursday.
Hang on. Before you get from Wednesday to Thursday, Wednesday I'm at Rod Laver Arena, Sam.
Oh yes.
And the footy show, and they say tonight the opening panel. A Footscray legend, a Hawthorn legend, a Collingwood premiership playing legend. I thought Swanee's back.
Oh, how good! How did it go, Dane? How was the
welcome,
show?
Welcome, Doug Hawkins, Shane Crawford, and Dale Thomas.
Well, what's
happened? Didn't get a call up.
I thought it was you.
Well, what's happened?
Did you get a go or?
Well, listen here, smart asses. What's happened? They misread the dates for me. They told me to be there. I thought it was on the Thursday night.
Usually is.
So I cleared my schedule Thursday night.
I can see where they
had something busy. Had something on Wednesday night. Yeah. I was working out of home, working away from home. Then Thursday night, I roll up the Rod Laver.
God, they would have been disappointed.
And there wasn't anyone there. I was like, fuck, what's happened? I go, the show can't go on without me.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. Well, they said I've been redeployed. I'm just waiting to see where they've redeployed me.
Where was Juddy?
Well, he's standing next to me. We're both looking into Rod Laver going, what's happened? Where is everyone? So
the light's not on.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been redeployed. I'm just waiting to find out where. I'm a front bar man now anyway. yeah, exactly.
We got a message. So the Albion, what were you doing with the Albion with Luke Darcy and Will?
Yeah, that was just – that was a – That was a charity thing. Yep. For the Will Murray. I think we raised 35, 40 grand for the Will Murray Foundation. So
is Nick there, the old man?
Good fellow. Yep. Nick. Yeah, Emma. Yeah. And a man who shall remain nameless.
Oh,
was he there?
Actually bumped into him.
Yeah, he day. He did a lot of. He got up and did some emceeing and spoke, and I have to be within. I can't be within 100 yards of him.
Right.
So he was there before I got there.
How did that run sheet go?
Two ships in the night. We just slipped past each other as he was on the way
separate
out.
Separate exits.
So yep, absolutely. Yep. But from what all reports, apparently absolutely murdered it. He was brilliant. Had a lot of stuff to say. We've probably given him a lot. Probably given him a lot of cannon fodder here. So you're welcome, man who shall remain nameless. But everyone loved him. Thought he was fantastic, and he's. We all know how good a media personality is, so no doubt someone will give him a gig next year.
And speaking of which, since our last pod, the open mic come out, I know you don't care, but Sam, did you see it? He was fantastic.
Fantastic. And actually,
did you watch it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Points for honesty.
I haven't watched it. My mate sent me, the same one that I watched the September Club. He was most impressed with you, Dane.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch it, but...
didn't watch it either?
Well, I was there. I knew what I said.
I heard he did really well, though.
Yeah, as you said, the important thing was the next day there was nothing in the paper. You would have shattered a few people being a beauty. We can get
I don't know what he edited or what he didn't. Or, I don't know, but... I mean, Dad asked me not to be on the front page of the paper again. I guess I did. I guess I didn't make any. I don't think any shit I made. No. Yeah, so I was all right. But yeah, it was good. He's off me back now, Mike, so I don't have to do it ever again. And next time will be for a paycheck, let me tell you. Yeah, I'm skint at the minute.
So that was Will Murray Foundation. What else did we do?
That was a good day. It was a solid night as well. I had something.
Did anyone pay for Dane Swan and get Dane Swan?
Yeah, most people. most people did, mate. So, yeah, no, it was good. It was a good week, solid week.
Huge
it's
week.
It's a pretty, I don't know, how many gigs did you have?
So who'd you, what'd you have, Sam?
I had Fev and Cripps entering the day. Then I had Richie Callahan and Damien Fleming in the evening. And then the next
How did Flemo go? Because I just need to
He was bloody good, actually. He was very good.
Have you done a gig with Damien Fleming?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
He's so I'm biased. Bloody hilarious. I'm
mates with him.
Yeah.
Why is he mates with you?
That's a fair question. It's a very fair question. Well, I think when he was a required player at the Victorian cricket team.
All right, yeah.
And then so I stayed mates with him through that period. Yeah. Now he's a star. So, yeah, if he is due to wipe me.
He had some great stories.
So what'd you give the 3-2-1 without telling the stories?
Had Ruffy and Jordan Lewis and Sean Burgoyne and then Lewis again as well. So I had quite a few over the weekend. I don't know. Fev's always an old fave because he's a mate of mine now. So he's quite funny.
So I text Flem, said, how'd you go? Sam does the podcast now. How did he go before I read you what he texted me? Because Friend should give up what he said. But
he
I'm
did really well, but the way that he exited the stage was quite humorous because there was some. Do you know? Is this where this is going?
I don't know.
There was when we opened the floor to Q&A. This gentleman, we'll call him a gentleman, sitting up one of the back tables, asked him a question. I can't remember what the question was, but he was giving an answer, which was going for quite a while. But as you know, he's quite animated when he tells a story, and it went on for quite a while. And then about halfway through the story, he looks up and the guy was not paying attention halfway in state. So he goes, "You're not even fucking listening." And he grabs his beer, puts the mic down, and goes and sits down at the table in half socks. It was fucking hilarious. And the guy's going, "No, get back up." And he goes, "No, fuck you, I'm not even finishing this story." It was hilarious.
He texted me. I said, "How'd you go?" And he said, "Wowee, I had a nightmare on stage again. Only 3 encores. The Rolling Stones do too, by the way." Followed up by, "It's the chanting of Flemo, Flemo that kills me."
He's hilarious. It was really good.
Very, very good.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend.
But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, so no footy show for you, Swanee, or they're just waiting?
I think it's – they said – they actually did get back in contact with me. They said this Thursday we're on.
Yep.
So
okay, so that's positive.
Cool. Yeah, but just back at the Dockland studio again. Oh, so okay. Everyone, this will be up by then, obviously. So just look out for me. He'll be
forward to it. Now, ready do you go. Have Nuffy Day at the G on Sunday?
Did I have what, sorry?
Were you with the people on Sunday?
On Sunday?
Yeah, at the MCG Open Day.
Yes, I was. God, public. You know everything. Yeah, it was MCG Open Day, which was I had no idea how that was going to go. So basically, exactly the hints in the title, they literally opened the doors and anyone and everyone could come and they kind of put on an exhibition of events. It was like a petting zoo. Yeah, it's free. So they open. So this is the weirdest thing. People bring picnics and come and sit on the grass.
So what, that was what? 100,000 people there.
Thousands and thousands of people all day. So
half-time heroes.
Yeah, the doors opened at 11 and closed. We rang the siren at 3:45.
You interviewed a horse. I've only interviewed jockeys and trainers. But
no, I interviewed a couple of AFLW players.
Yep. Didn't I see you with a real horse?
Yeah, that was out the front. There was pony rides there.
I was going to say, that didn't fucking, that transition didn't go well.
Hang on.
I'm trying to think
of
who my...
thinking Susie's going to ride something.
No, there was a petting zoo out the front. There was a couple of cricket clinics from T20 and Melbourne Stars Renegades. It was just basically everything and anything that was available at the G that you would normally pay for was open for free. There was a couple of artists, sketch artists there. The man Mark Knight that does those infamous premiership posters that are in the Herald Sun every year, he was there signing them as well. People were lined up from that from about 8 a.m. and it was really – was an interesting day, to say the least. I genuinely didn't think there would be that many people there, but they came in numbers.
All right, from Twitter, Jesus. What did Swanee and Dusty get up to on Saturday night from Leah?
Like I just said, I didn't – I only seen him for an hour and a half or something. It's for a little bit, if you listen to next week's podcast before you listen to this one's, which is going to be very hard to do.
We've taped one with Sam Newman already.
You'll know that we go away on Thursday to a Bucks party and then travel around for a bit. So I'll let him sort of went and seen him in a couple of the others and say congratulations. And then I'd had enough by then, so I went home and got to get me shit and life sorted for the next few days before I go away. So but I think, as you would, winning a premiership, I think they had a pretty good timing. All the Tigers enjoyed themselves, and so they should. I would imagine they still are right now.
From It's Brett. Well, Swanee pulling the boots again. I've heard the Swans are after some mature age players, and it could be a good earn. Hashtag nothing's for nothing.
You took words out of my mouth. I'm available. I won't be any good, but I'm available. Do you have to still nominate for the draft? Or?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, I don't want to go. Well, if my manager ever gets back in contact with me, I might tell him to nominate and see how I go.
From Troy himself, does tomato sauce really belong in the fridge?
It does say please refrigerate after opening on the label.
Well, where do you put it?
In a pantry.
Do you?
I've got the 50.
Where are you? In the fridge.
Yeah, I'm in the fridge. What about Vegemite?
Oh, pantry. I put that in the pantry, yeah. Actually, I've got one in each. I've got jars everywhere.
I'm in the fridge.
From Michael Schultz, just finished reading Swanee's book. Wonder how the keyboard lessons are going.
They've slowed down.
What was that?
What? I took piano lessons. I probably need to get back on them, actually. Yeah. You know, well, I did. Went after I – was it 2016, I think it was, when I hurt my foot? Yep. Or yeah. I always said I wanted to try something different because when I was playing footy – I'll finish school. I never learn anything different. Yeah. Like, you learn footy, but we already know how to kick a ball. So you learn game plans and shit. But like, I didn't study anything else. I didn't learn anything else. So I was like, I need to keep my brain active. So went down and started doing piano lessons to try and learn piano. So yeah, it was nice to go in with eight year olds who were absolutely flying. I'm a 30-year-old fucking using one finger couldn't play chopsticks, couldn't play a tune. These 8 year olds are playing Mozart. I was like, fucking here we go, I've had enough of this.
From Robbo from Chidlow, does it piss everyone else off when people pull a trolley out from the trolley bay and stop to load all their shitty bags onto the trolley before moving out of the way so others can get a trolley? Trolley etiquette.
Hold on. Trolley etiquette. Well, I don't do big shops. I go up sort of every day and just get a basket. So I don't know about trolley etiquette. I haven't really thought about it. The big question over the weekend that I had was how you eat a Buffalo Bill. That was a big talking point.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. As in nose first or?
No, nose last.
Nose last. Come
and
on,
no
mate.
Chocolate off first on the back.
Right.
If you bite the chocolate, if you just bite all the way down, you're a psychopath. You got to bite the chocolate off first.
I'm going to text my son. I don't have him, but he does. So I'll get
treat
him.
Yourself.
Yeah,
have a treat yourself, Ralph.
I'm just more concerned about the process.
Yeah, well, that's what a process.
From Dean Jacob,
driven person
with the Melbourne Best and Fairest on tonight. Will Ralphie be consistent? Leave early. Say after entree. I left that early. I didn't go.
You're not going.
We got some very good answers here. What now? You've got a little segment, haven't you?
Oh.
Yeah, fess up or something. What's it called?
Oh yeah, fess
just
up.
Just before we get to that. So this is one. So from Leanne. My husband put Vegemite on dry biscuit without margarine or butter the other day.
What is his problem?
My kids and I were dumbfounded. Surely margarine or butter is a prerequisite before applying such spreads. We prefer butter, but he's a margarine kind of guy. Either way, it wasn't right. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. He needs to think about his actions.
You do have to put margarine or butter on.
Yeah, it's best.
No matter what?
On the crackers, you know, you squeeze it.
No matter on everything. Oh, on like...
Is that psychopath?
On a bread. Or unless it's like a cracker with cheese. Then you can probably swerve it. Right.
The best bit is you need to squeeze it through the little holes and then it goes.
But like I'm talking like a peckish cracker or whatever it is. But like if you're talking, what are they called? Salada?
Saladas.
Yeah. Saladas.
Which
something
is spread
like.
Easier with margarine.
Yeah, it's a spread.
Or the Vitabrit. Is it Vitabrit?
But margarine. You need that margarine to.
But it'd be perfect, guys. I'm not a big cracker man. I'm going potato chips or something like that if I'm going to eat something.
No, was
something
it?
Savory.
What
like
were the alfalfa options, or what was the ones from Taylor?
Prunes.
Prunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a prune man yet.
Please, man. I actually seen them the other night. They nearly made me vomit.
So the people chimed in from Chloe Moody. My husband was caught giving the children jam sandwiches with no butter. It's like I don't even know the man I married.
Oh mate, if they're going to school, if they're for school sandwiches. I can promise you now, those kids aren't eating those sandwiches. They're getting thrown in the bin.
From Sarah, make him sleep outside and think about it before you let him back in.
Oh, well, correct.
Absolutely.
From Jock, your husband's done nothing wrong. Please take some time to reflect on your behaviour. Let him know he has support out there. Very nice.
Listen in, Jock.
Right, what have you found there, Sam, please?
Okay, you go. Well,
we can go one for one. There's a Twitter site called Fesshole.
This is very you. Did you look
which
it up?
Which is supposed
no,
to be...
It up,
to know when you pay attention to what goes into our group chat.
No, well, I don't like to...
I like to hear it on online.
Yeah,
so it's a Twitter page.
Before, I don't even know how to say the word prep, but I don't like to do any of that unless I stumble across something. And I don't text this stuff to you.
Exactly.
So I like to keep it...
It's basically,
fresh.
It's called Fresh Fesshole. It's a Twitter page where supposedly you can anonymously get things off your chest that might not be... best spoken about in front of friends and family.
Confessions.
But how do you get it then?
Confessionals. Well, I don't know. There's a form that you fill out to send it through to them.
Well, like an actual letter.
Like an online form that you fill out. And I guess the administrators of this Fesshole page go through it and post them. So they're all posted by the Fesshole.
All right, yeah.
So there's a couple here. There's one that says, due to a chipped urinal at my school, I once managed to spray myself with my own piss. In my embarrassment, I told my teacher an older boy peed on me, gave her the name of the only kid in the year above me whose surname I knew. Not only did the poor bugger's parents get called in, but he got referred to behavioural support services and had an appointment with support teacher every week for the next 3 months. I still feel bad 32 years later.
The problem is he dropped altar boy. As soon as he's had anything to do with the church, they fucking, they absolutely agreed. They would have said, yep, yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about it.
Some of them are terrible. He goes, when I was a student, one of our mates passed out, bent over in a nightclub toilet with his pants around his ankles. Once we established he was breathing, instead of helping him, we got a condom, spat in it, then used a cocktail stirrer to push up his bum and shut the cubicle door.
You read that again for me?
Mate's great.
Would you like that?
Yes, I would read it. I'd love to read it.
When I was a student, one of our mates passed out, bent over in a nightclub toilet with his pants around his ankles. Once we'd established he was breathing, instead of helping him, we got a condom, spat in it, then used a cocktail stirrer to push it up his bum and shut the cubicle door.
See, now, so why is Sam allowed to say that stuff? Like that is off the Urban Dictionary website. I'm sure there is something that's something like that. But Sam's allowed to say it. Poor old Dano can't go anywhere near Urban Dictionary. It's fucking, that's sexism again at its finest.
Always.
Not happy.
Once I took some cat poo from the litter tray and put it in the carton of milk my ex-boyfriend drank from.
From keep to the structures. I don't own my nature strip. Nobody does. Why do I have to mow it? And if I let it grow too high, my council would issue me with a fine. Discuss.
Isn't it council property? Don't they have to? Council have to look after.
Well, I don't have a nature strip either.
What should they do?
You don't want to get a fine, but.
Well, Daniel's chimed in. An old lady in Malvern, whose house I once worked at, pondered the same issue. She had no other lawn, owned no lawnmower, and would therefore have to pay for it. Council said, bad luck. Old lady poured acid all over the nature strip. Case closed.
Well played by Doris.
Well done.
What do you found?
A classic story of he said, she said. It's a beauty. Christine and Michael Barnett. Their ex-husband now, have been charged with abandoning their daughter when she was 9 in Lafayette, India, and fleeing to Canada. Do you know why?
Why?
Because, alas, she was not nine. She was a 22-year-old Ukrainian dwarf she was masquerading as a child, and she tried to kill them. She pushed her onto an electric fence, poured bleach into her parents' coffee, and threatened to stab the Barnetts in their sleep. And, man, but while this is a fucking true story. And you know how they knew? This is a photo over here. You know how they knew?
God.
No, listen, I'm not here to talk about women's anatomy and their stuff, I guess. But I don't know how many 6-year-olds have their period.
There's not many.
Exactly. So that's how they knew she was a 22-year-old and she tried to kill them. So for me, and the cops have arrested them. The cops have genuinely arrested them. And she claims that the parents claim they were true victims, and her and her family were terrorized for years by the mysterious imposter who threatened to stab them in their sleep, push her towards an electric fence, and poured bleach in her coffee.
How is this? I'm pretty sure. Do you mention they were from India, this family?
No, but from Indiana.
Indiana.
This is American. This is even worse.
Just up the road, Sam.
I thought you said India. I thought they looked vastly different from Ukrainians, first of all. Second of all, if she's not their daughter, where is their daughter? Because I'm gathering
she adopted her.
Right.
Yeah. So
minor technicalities.
She's like, Natalia was a woman. She had periods. She had adult teeth. She never grew a single inch, which would even happen in a child with dwarfism. So, my goodness. Well, you know what the story of the tale of the story.
What's that?
You don't adopt people from the Ukraine.
Is that what you're taking out of it, is it?
Especially dwarfs from there.
Well, I was going to say, this Donald Trump issue, they keep on talking about the Ukrainian situation. I'm thinking,
maybe that wall does need to go up.
There's season one. That's where we went off track.
And I would have fucking abandoned that little fucker too. If they tried to put bleach in, well, not that I drink coffee, I probably would have been saved. But, well, that's a story and a half, isn't it? And that's true.
From Josh Harkins, thoughts on paella served at a footy club function?
Oh, delicious.
No, not for me. No, Stoop, mate. Well, unless it's a footy club before.
Yeah. Because you're not a fan of paella or because of tradition?
It's a footy club. You've got 40 players and maybe a girls team, then partners. You might have 150 there. That's a big fucking bowl of paella, let me tell you.
Paellas are huge, though.
Mate, you might have a bucket the size of the dish from the... That movie, The Dish.
This is from Kekkers. Were any of the people who say meat is murder wearing leather?
Probably.
There was a guy last year. I put him on and went nuts on social. When the Melbourne Cup, when that poor horse got euthanized, and then he went on ABC on the breakfast show, and he's saying people are sick of horse racing in the Melbourne Cup, and he's sitting there wearing a leather jacket. Just took a little photo. The hypocrites are going around, don't
they? It has been a big week for vegans, though.
It's been a large week for vegans.
Don't get me started.
What have you noticed?
Pardon? Well, there was one. Well, if you change your name to Sexy Vegan, you know you're in trouble. Speedo, this bloke legally changed his name to Sexy Vegan. And I understand if vegans love animals, and like we all love animals.
Yep.
Well, most of us do. Some of us obviously don't. But Sam is one. Not Sam Ritchie's. Sam Newman's not a big fan. Couldn't eat a whole one, as he generally states. But he got his name, Sexy Vegan, tattooed on his face. Like, changed his, is that what he changed his name from?
Born Hansel Marion, Hansel Marion Di Bartolo the Three. I guess you probably changed your name if it was fucking that anyway. But to sexy vegan, and he loved animals that much. He's been arrested for sexually assaulting his pit bull and posting the video of the act on social media.
Oh my god!
So
he's had a bad week.
Listen, we all love animals.
Not that much.
Well, exactly. Just eat a fucking sausage roll instead if you want. I don't know. But
bestiality is frowned upon.
Yes. Thank God you said it, Sam. Yes, absolutely. It is. This is
gross.
We don't joke about stuff like that, do we?
Interesting sex acts. There was an article that I saw. Sex with Greg's pasty boiled my bell end. Now Howard fumes, I'm going to sue. So this British man has gone at home and had sex with his pastry that he'd bought from the bakery and blistered his bell end, according to the reporter, and is attempting to sue Greg's.
What kind of pastry?
Looks like an apple pie, but I'm unsure what it is.
When, where do you get them from exactly?
From Greg's in the UK.
Can you get them in Australia?
I'm unsure, but Dane, a little public service announcement. If you're going to have sex with your pastry, let it cool down before you insert.
You sure? Okay. Well, yeah, American pie kind of style. Wonder if he was influenced by American pie.
From Reestical, can Ralph not do that wheezing laugh right into the mic every 2 minutes?
You just did it.
And 4 weeks ago, people haven't got me for not being in the mic.
I'm so really impressed
with
you.
We're doing our best.
Your mic technique
From, this one. From Mr. Campen. Hang on.
I'm going to get allowed to do me tips this week, today.
Definitely. My mate Walco has been a stay-at-home dad this year and wanted to know what fabric softener Swanee's missus used to get her towel so soft.
Well, the biggest thing she does is not let me fucking use them. Because apparently I have a great habit of making them, or wash them, because I just ruin them and make them real starchy and like cardboard. But I can find out for her because I don't know. Because every time I do it wrong.
I copped a spray for not Collingwood washing.
Not Collingwood.
Black and white separate.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I've learned that on the odd occasion, but
I found this for you, Dane, actually. This article might be something that you might be interested in if in the future you do decide to dabble in a bit more mopping or a few more house chores. There's actually
I fucking broke the vacuum the other day, but
is there actually
buried the lead. We should have opened with that.
There's an extreme sport of extreme ironing.
Extreme ironing.
Yeah, so they have to. The contestants have to iron in extreme conditions, like on a tire on a moving river, or on a seesaw, or upside down on a rock climbing apparatus.
It couldn't be under much more pressure than when Taylor's eyeballing me when I'm trying to iron something. I tell you, that's the most pressure I've ever had in my life. So I'm fucking it up.
Similar extreme circumstances. Well, if it's something that you're into, I can send you this article and you can join the extreme world of ironing championships.
Yeah, listen, Sam, we're probably going to have to give that a miss. Yeah, I'm pretty flat out working from home, so I'm not sure extreme ironing's for me.
From Jacobs, thoughts on men that choose the middle urinal opposed to a side urinal when there are odd numbers of urinal, which forces someone to go next to them when it didn't have to happen.
Well, it's exactly the same.
What if they get there, when they got there was someone on the left and they had to take it?
Well, then that's obviously...
That's not a choice.
But it's obviously... it's exactly the same as the middle seat on a plane. You're an absolute lunatic.
Yeah.
You always go... I don't know. Do girls have urinals?
No.
No? They don't? Well, I don't know in this day and age.
That's the title of the...
They might have urinals and...
No, I don't have urinals.
Back into it? I don't know. Or they might be a bit lower.
I had a thought about... usually I'm a window seat girl because I like to go to sleep as much as I can. So I like to lean up against the side of the plane. But I have paused for a moment when choosing seats before, because if the plane's relatively empty and they're like it's three lots of seats, I like to book the middle seat because I figure that when other people are looking at the seating map will see that I'm sitting in the middle and therefore not choose to sit next to me. So therefore, there's a higher chance I'll get three seats to myself.
You're taking an outrageous risk.
Yeah, this is true.
I'll tell you what, it's not something I'd be willing to do.
Close to departure time and a relatively empty flight, I'll book that.
I'll be fucking 4 minutes to the departure, let me tell you.
Not worth the risk, you don't reckon?
Nah, no way. I couldn't. Oh, if you're going to Sydney, mate, if you're going to Perth, It's not a hope.
I would just like to have three seats. The chance at having three. I'm a risk taker, Dane.
Well, you take some ordinary risks. That's one I would not like to take, let me tell you.
From Blaine on Facebook, please like us. Need some advices, guys. I've got a mate due to get married early next year. As it stands, he's not chosen any groomsmen and snuffs out any attempt we make at a bucks party. We've come to the conclusion that he's not allowed to have either. What's your thoughts, as it's looking like we may have to kidnap him to achieve a bucks party?
So the groom doesn't want groomsmen nor a bucks party?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
I can understand not having grooms. Maybe he's got too many clothes, doesn't want to upset one or the other. I can kind of understand that, but, mate, not having a bucks party is blasphemous.
Yep.
They go hand in hand. You can't get married without the bucks. I wonder if his partner's having a hens.
Well, or is
the and if she doesn't, and if the bride isn't letting him have the bucks, he should not be marrying her. That's a marrying in her. No, that's not. That doesn't sound right. He shouldn't be marrying her because that's just. I think that's just.
We're two friends of mine. One was going to get married, and the other one married with kids, and they decided they were going to have their week at Hawaii. Bucks week. He pulled out of the wedding. And then his best man said he wasn't allowed to tell his wife that he'd pulled out of the wedding until they were on the plane. Because otherwise it was going to cost him a bucks week.
Absolutely. Man, it's very, very smart.
Oh, my goodness.
It's very, very smart.
I love the look of the two of you face. You've just gone, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. You've just gone, what?
Yeah, well,
oh my God.
That's exactly right. Because once you're on the plane, you go, oh, well, I'm here now.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
I'll enjoy it.
I tell you what, if men use their brains for good, it would actually go right in this world.
I've got a quick question based off a marriage thing, actually. Dane, you have to let this listener know, because I bumped into him in person, whether this guy's on Mixed List or what we're calling now the anonymous list. I walked out of Talk To Me Bar on the other night. I just popped in for a drink and this guy called out my name. I didn't know him. Turned around. His name was Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Shout out. Join us on Patreon. Like us on Facebook.
Oh, he has an influence.
He said to me he was down here for... he loved the show. Down here for the GWS Richmond Grand Final. He had tickets to the final. He was down from Sydney. But he was leaving and couldn't go to the final despite having tickets because he had a wedding to attend.
Yeah, no, wedding... You can't have a wedding on Grand Final Day. Unless you...
It wasn't even his wedding.
Unless you're not from Australia. No, it can't happen. No, it's very selfish.
Derby Day.
And he chose to attend that over already pre-purchased GWS member tickets.
Well, how long ago was the wedding decided? Surely he knew a long time out. No, you can't have a grand... You can't have a... I'm sure it's cheap that day.
Would you have gone to your friend's wedding if it was on Grand Final Day?
Oh, probably, only because I would go because I've been there. If it was Collingwood, if I was playing in it, I obviously wouldn't, but I'd have to play. But I probably would have went. Depends how close a friend it is.
Mm.
I think that's a telltale sign of how close a friend you are. If you're just on the periphery, you might get a swerve. But if you're in the wedding party or you're really close, you probably have to go and just complain the whole time.
Mm.
From David O'Donoghue, would you rather teeth as pubes or pubes as teeth?
Hold on a minute.
people come up with issues.
Well, teeth is pubes, because how the fuck could you chew anything if you got pubes as teeth? You wouldn't be able to get them down.
As teeth.
Just a reminder, next week, Sam Newman, we're doing hypotheticals. From Sean DeBurka, why does Swanee wear a watch on the wrong wrist? Absolutely fucked.
Because I'm left-handed.
From Mick Ron, when are you adding Swanee and Friends bikini to your shit merch? And whacking the punters $100 each. I'm sure you can get one knocked up in China for about $2.50.
Well, I just grabbed some dental floss. That's all they use these days. It's incredible.
From Dan Boyle, best song, A, Back in Black, B, Stairway to Heaven, or C, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Back in Black, ACDC.
Yeah.
So, Stairway to Heaven, Back in Black, and...
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
From Craig Mooney, the people have spoken, we want Urban Dictionary back. From Brad Granger... Dane, did you appear on open mic? Did you get paid to appear on open mic? Remember, nothing's for nothing.
Unfortunately, I didn't know. We talked about the podcast, so free publicity, I would imagine.
That's great. Yeah. Good work, Dane.
Just selfless again.
Thank you so much. I am.
From Tanya Racina, Swanee sober enough to do a broadcast after celebrating with Dusty, so we've covered that.
Yep.
From Steve Reed, you guys should release a book of meetings from that dictionary we can't mention and call it not endorsed by Swanee and Friends, but it's fucking funny.
I'm going to bring it back at some stage. Well, okay. Sam pretty much just said one before. I'm sure that's an Urban Dictionary saying.
I gave a good Urban Dictionary at our show. Did I do this last week, the SMH one?
Yeah, exactly. So why can't I?
Hey,
fucking bullshit. Sexist. Sexism at its finest right there.
Yeah.
What do you think should never be used from someone else?
Sorry?
So, well, like I reckon toothbrush. You should never ever use someone else's toothbrush.
So I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Really?
Well, the toothpaste goes on the brush, so it cleans it automatically. Look, I wouldn't pick up
Jocks,
strangers, but I'd use Taylor's. Well, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I'd use my partner's.
Yeah.
Jocks?
Would I, like,
well, if they're clean.
Yeah, but someone else. But, yeah, like, would you buy secondhand jocks at a shop?
Oh, no, because you don't know who they are. But if I was staying if I stayed at Dane's house and I forgot my underwear for some unknown reason and Taylor was like, here's the fresh pair.
No, I'm talking about strangers.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't wear strangers.
Socks?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with socks.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with
from socks. From Allura.com, a woman sold her used breast implants on Facebook Marketplace, so I'm confused.
Oh, wow.
Can we draw a line there?
How much were they? What's he asking?
Tell him it's Raymond.
And this one reminded me of a reverse of you from earlier this year. Vegan woman says she's now traumatised for life after biting into a sausage roll with pork in it.
Right?
You got traumatised. Tell Sam about that.
I was traumatised. When was this? Probably early on in our podcast. So
before Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. So I was at home and I was a bit peckish. I looked in the freezer and there happened to be some sausage rolls. And I was like, fuck, this is odd. So I'm a beauty. I fucking have some sausage rolls. So put them in the oven. Like, so I prefer to... I'd take the 20 minutes and oven them instead of just nuking them. Yeah. Put them in the oven. Wait on me 20 minutes. I'll starve. I could smell them. Put some dead horse on them. That's tomato sauce. Don't want all the Peter coming after me thinking I've chopped up a horse and stuck them on for some garnish. But so tomato sauce, bit into it. I was like, what the fuck is this? Man, it was a vegan sausage roll. I'd cooked it and everything. And she reckons she's traumatized. I still haven't been over it. I still can't eat a sausage roll.
Well, I have...
Disgusted me.
Have a confession. I actually listened to that episode.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But also, I have a real problem with people that call things names that they aren't. Like, fake chicken. Well, it's not chicken then if it's fake chicken. Yeah. Vegan sausage roll. It's not a sausage roll. Mm. You know, fake bacon. It's not bacon. So
bacon.
So find a new word. I have no problem with you creating a new type of food, but give it a new word.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Absolutely.
You're misleading.
Anything to finish with, Sam, before we get to Swanee's joke and tips?
Oh, we'll save that for another day.
All right.
Joke?
I'll give a tip.
Okay,
give
what? Tip.
So there's a horse called Flit.
Yeah.
Running 1,000 guineas.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Gamble responsibly.
Do what you want with that.
I'm not saying have your house on it, but have someone else's house on it.
All right.
And call for cup dip, Rostropovich, because we're off for a couple of weeks.
My joke, well, what's the difference between a Catholic priest and a pimple? Do you know? At least a pimple.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.